Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast. We give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened in the week's movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. So, spoiler warning, if you've not watched the latest and greatest in nerd television and or movies, pause this podcast, go watch it, and join us again for the fun afterwards. Explicit content warning as well. May not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. We will be cussing and saying some pretty messed up stuff. So you've been warned. Yeah. What up, what up, what up, my nerdy peeps?
Hiya.
What up, Christian?
What's up? How are you?
I'm pretty good, yeah. Man.
Yeah. We have settled into our new apartment at this point, I think.
Yep.
It's fair to say. So, yesterday your mom came by. And
yep.
And your brother came by, and Colton came by. So that was cool. We had a lot of comers, buyers.
Yep, showing people the new place. It's pretty cool, pretty fun. So earlier this week, right, I got into an accident at work.
Yeah.
Totally not my fault, by the way. So what had happened was there was a four-way stop. I wait until I have the right-of-way until the intersection is clear. I proceed on, and then when I was like, pretty much almost all the way through, this guy just ran the stop sign and T-boned my work vehicle. Thank God it wasn't in my own vehicle. But now I'm on, like, medical leave, like, pending, like, the test results that they had to send me to go do. I mean, obviously, I know I'm going to pass them, but it's just taking a while to receive the results. It's very annoying and inconvenient. I've been very bored all week because I've been off work this whole week, and we've had no internet. And then my phone decided it was going to die out on me. So I've had no phone, no internet. Like, the internet worked just enough so I could watch Netflix. So I guess, you know, I had something a little bit to do. But other than that, been a pretty boring week.
Yeah, but we got the internet fixed yesterday. Got your bed came in.
Yes, finally got delivered to us. I don't have to sleep on an air mattress anymore. So that's good,
yeah,
right?
Yesterday was fairly productive.
Well, yeah, no. Up until the point of the internet. The internet, though.
Yeah. So last night, Scott was drinking a little bit.
It was hilarious. Okay, guys. Yeah.
Just having a good time. His brother and his brother's wife were here. I know her from way back when we lived in the apartments, and I knew his brother a little bit back then too. But they came over and it was pretty cool, just talking and whatever. And Scott was having a little bit to drink because his brother brought us some housewarming alcohol that Scott will drink all of.
Yes, he brought a bunch of different alcohols.
Yeah, and he brought me some Mountain Dew because he's a swell fella.
So. Yeah, he tried to find him a sippy cup, but I guess they just didn't have the time to look for it.
Yes. And we were reminiscing about this time Scott got angry at a video game, so he decided to demonstrate, and his alcoholic beverage fell over onto the floor.
Yeah, like, it was I think we talked about it at some point on this podcast. Like, so everybody knows I'm a gamer. And so one time I was playing FIFA, right? And I just got so angry that I couldn't control myself anymore. So then, like, I punched the fucking, the TV tray that we had at the time.
Yeah.
And it had, like, a removable top on it. And so that flew off into Christian's room and, like, hit one of his statues and, like, broke part of it. I felt like a bad. And, but, like, when it happened, Christian's like, are you serious? And I just fucking, like, almost went off on him. I was just like so angry.
Yeah.
So I was like trying to like demonstrate, like, because like my brother kind of looked at me like, well, how the fuck did you like do that or whatever? And I was just like, so I decided to give him a demonstration. And then like I was like did like a fucking jumping like 360 fucking uppercut of doom. And I accidentally hit my fucking like little coffee mug that I have like my Jameson and ginger ale in, and that spills over fucking onto like my controller, on my brother's phone, on Christian's like iPad a little bit, on the couch, like it just spilled everywhere, and I was just like, fuck.
Yeah.
How does this happen to me?
Well, like, you know, things happen. So that was pretty entertaining though.
Yeah.
We were meant to go to CoinOp with some friends, I guess, but then they canceled and we're like, whatever, we didn't care really. I only cared because I plucked my eyebrows and got all beautiful for all the ladies out there.
Okay.
That's about as fair as a response as I'm going to get. We did our Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 review, so that'll be posted alongside this. So if you guys want to know what we thought of that movie and where we put it in comparison to other movies, you can check that out. It'll be up. So, and let us know what you think of it. That'd be great. So.
Yeah, along with that, make sure you guys are following us all on all of our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and what else? Twitter? Oh, yes. Twitter's the one. Haha. Nerdy Boys Reviews. We also have a YouTube channel, Nerdy Boys Reviews. Make sure you guys go subscribe to us. View the content. If you guys enjoyed the content, drop a like and leave us some feedback as well. On that note, with the YouTube channel, we have a ton of content to cover because we do reaction videos to like the new trailers and stuff that comes out. And we've also been discussing about potentially doing some comic book talk because it's a little bit easier to do the comic book talk with a little bit of visual aids. But that's remained to be seen. But we have a ton of trailers to react to. So I'm not saying that they'll be published today, but they will be out soon. So just be on the lookout. Make sure that you guys enable the little bell notification on YouTube, because then you'll be directly notified through your phone or whatever have you when we upload stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So do that. So shall we get into the news?
Yes, sir. This is the MBR News, live from MBR Studios in Christian's bedroom. Christian, back to you.
Alrighty. First bit of news is Joss Whedon will finish the Justice League movie. It's still on track for a November release. So there's unfortunately tragic update on the status of Justice League movie. The Hollywood Reporter brings word that Joss Whedon has come aboard to finish the Warner Brothers DC Comics adaption, while the thought of the same man who first assembled Marvel's Avengers on the big screen doing the same for the distinguished competition may seem like potentially exciting news. It arrives marred by a personal tragedy for director Zack Snyder and his wife, producer Deborah Snyder. 2 months ago, the Snyders lost their daughter Autumn to suicide. So Zack Snyder told The Hollywood Reporter, "In my mind, I thought I was it was a cathartic thing to do, to go back to work, to just bury myself and see if that was the way through it. The demands of this job are pretty intense. It is all consuming. I've decided to take a step away from the movie to be with my family, be with my kids who really need me. They are all having a hard time, and I'm having a hard time as well." So with Zack and Deborah taking time to spend with their other 7 children, holy shit, Whedon will finish the Justice League movie in time for its November 10th, 2017 release. Whedon has previously revealed as the writer and director of the DC Comics upcoming Batgirl movie. And according to the report, Whedon was originally brought to the Justice League movie to script additional scenes. Warner Brothers president Toby Emmerich just said this on the change of directors. He said, "We're not introducing any new characters. It's the same characters in the same in some new scenes." He's handing a baton to Joss, but the course has really been set by Zack. I still believe that despite this tragedy, we'll still end up with a great movie.
Well, first things first, you know, it may not mean much, but, you know, our condolences do go out to the Snyder family. You know, you just don't want to hear about those sort of news pieces circulating. You know, it's just, I mean, I think it was the right choice for him to step down. I mean, outside of like my general dislike for how he's gone about these movies, I do think it is the right thing for him to do with his family, to take a step back, allow himself and his family to heal before he continues with his work.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, you know, the right, it's like good news from an unfortunate situation. You know, like, I'm excited for Joss Whedon to be taking the reins from here on out, but it is unfortunate that it comes on the back of this tragedy for Mr. Snyder. So it is awful, and I do feel awful for him, and nobody should have to go through that. But at the same time, we should still be excited and look forward to what Joss Whedon can do with the Justice League movie.
Yeah, with the more serious note out of the way, I am absolutely fucking buzzing that Joss Whedon is, like, taking over. Let's be honest, the MCU is not what it is without him.
Right.
He essentially built sort of a foundation for them to build upon and, you know, essentially created their Krabby Patty formula. And how can you not be excited for him to take over the DC universe? And there's so many great characters that I just feel like are perfect for Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon is one of the great writers and directors of our time.
Yeah.
I think, far down the road, maybe the day after, he passes, he'll be looked back. People will look back and they will revere him as like one of the greatest to ever write and direct and stuff like that, and he just has a general sense of how to build a character on screen, how they should be directed, how they should be acting, all that stuff. He's so great. I'm so buzzing for this, guys.
Yeah. I mean, this has nothing, our excitement for Joss Whedon taking over has nothing to do with Zack Snyder. It's all has to do with, it speaks to the character and the work of Joss Whedon. So don't think we're like slating Mr. Snyder as well. We're not. Like, Zack Snyder did great things with Watchmen. We might not be fans of his other works in the DC universe, but that doesn't mean that we can't be excited that Joss Whedon is,
taking over. I it's like, on one hand, it's like you don't want to like bash the guy, pending this news, but at the same time, it's like you have to be honest as well. It's like he was utter shit with the DC universe. Like, it sucks and it's very unfortunate about his tragedy, but I like to try to keep it real.
Yeah.
I like to try to keep it how it is. I've never liked his work.
Aside from Watchmen.
Exactly. Watchmen. No, I like his work. I don't like his work with, the new DC universe. When I say the DCU, I'm not talking about Watchmen.
Right.
Because obviously that came years before.
From Man of Steel
and
BVS.
And I cannot stand how he's built this universe. I don't like it at all. And I just generally think that he did a very poor job, and Warner Brothers is very lucky to have Joss Whedon. That is for sure.
Yeah. That's just the honest truth. And, yes, it's very unfortunate, but it's also very good news for, fans like us. So,
right. So I can't wait to see, give Joss Whedon a couple of years. Hopefully he just doesn't, do a year or two and then move on. Hopefully he's able to collectively build up this universe, because I think once they see how good of a job he does, they'll probably stick with him in the long run. So I really hoping that's kind of what happens, but we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully he does what Joss Whedon always does and just produces great work.
She kills it. So, yeah.
So, in other news, Jack Kesey to play Deadpool 2 villain, possibly Black Tom. According to Deadline, 20th Century Fox has hired actor Jack Kesey from The Strain and Baywatch to play the major Deadpool 2 villain in the upcoming sequel. The unofficial word is that Kesey is portraying the Irish mutant Black Tom Cassidy, who first appeared in the Chris Claremont Panini Uncanny X-Men number 101 in 1976, a frequent foe to both the X-Men and Deadpool. His main ability is project energy through plant life and wooden objects. What do you think about if it was Black Tom? How do you think he could work as like a main villain?
Does he
work for a Deadpool movie?
Deadpool managed to make Ajax work. So,
well, yeah, I mean, it worked in the confines of like almost like a mad scientist, he like chasing him down and whatever. So it does make sense,
Yeah.
But how does a Black Tom make sense, given his power set? How does that really make sense?
We'll just have to wait and see. I mean, I think that Black Tom has been an interesting character throughout, X-Men and things like that. And obviously Chris Claremont did great work on X-Men. So, he could be good. I don't, I don't think he has the big name of other villains that they could do, like, especially in a movie where you have Cable coming in and Domino and things like that. Like, you might expect to see some greater foes, but I have no problem with Black Tom. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, sticking with the Fox News, there's some more New Mutants movie plot details that were revealed, and it's going to be it's going to have a horror tone, is what they're saying. With 20th Century Fox's New Mutants set to go before cameras in July, director Josh Boone, who did The Fault in Our Stars, has spoken to Entertainment Weekly about the new film, confirming the horror tone, which ComingSoon.net first reported back in November, and other details. So he said, "We are making a full-fledged horror movie set within the X-Men universe. There are no costumes. There are no supervillains. We're trying to do something very, very different." A secret source close to the production also elaborated on the plot, which focuses on mutants during their teenage years when their powers are new and they are the most dangerous to themselves and others. They said, held in a secret facility against their will, five new mutants will have to battle the dangers of their powers as well as the sins of their past. They aren't out to save the world. They're just trying to save themselves.
What do you think about that?
I think it's awful. I don't have a problem with the horror tone. It's the no costumes kind of thing. Like,
yeah, that's the entire appeal to making a superhero film or, you know, just a comic book film, you know?
Right.
I think it's a mistake. It does not get me interested. It literally does the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Gets me uninterested.
I mean, I'm interested. Like, I think the horror like kind of movie tone like could be good for New Mutants, but like the idea that they won't even be in costume, it's just like a bunch of random people with some powers. Like the greatest thing about some of the Avengers films is like seeing them in costume, you know?
Right.
Like suiting up and stuff. Like, I know like it looks super campy sometimes, but that's like the appeal of heroes is to be in costume sometimes. So.
Right. Okay, so one more piece of news that I did want to talk about. We didn't really write it down or anything, but I do know it's a thing. I just want to get your opinions on it. So with the Wonder Woman movie coming out next week, there's like reports that there's going to be like an all female only viewing of the movie.
There was that in Texas. Is what happened. In Texas they ran like a premiere for it. Right. That was exclusive women only, and I think that's against the law. Like, that's like saying no blacks.
Yeah, I mean, outside of, you know, it being potentially against the law, how do you feel about that?
It doesn't bother me at all. Like, I don't have any real feeling. Like, it doesn't outrage me or anything like that. I do think that, I don't think, but I know like the writers and the people involved in the film have been very outspoken about how this isn't like a movie that's trying to exclude men. It's not supposed to be this big feminist, like, you know, feminazi kind of propaganda movie and things like that. They've been very clear about it. I don't know why this theater would decide to do it. Maybe they're trying to like try harder to empower women and things like that. And whatever, but it doesn't bother me that they'd run that, aside from the fact that it may be illegal because it is kind of discrimination, unless it's like some kind of specific contest or thing like that that, you know, is exclusive for women, then maybe not so, but it doesn't bother me.
I find it very bothersome.
Yeah.
I think it's utter bullshit. Like, the fact that, like you said, it is, in its purest form, it is discrimination.
Right.
Against men. And regardless of whether or not the studio had anything to do with it, I'm pretty sure there's like something they could do about it though. They could probably like take
They could pull the movie.
Yeah,
maybe,
they can pull the movie from that theater, and yeah, they should have. I think that's utter bullshit. No, dude, that's hella bullshit, dude, because like this whole feminist fucking movement nowadays is such fucking horseshit, dude. It's feminazi, dude. That's what it fucking is. And this whole thing to exclude and banter and fucking bash and hold down men, dude. Like, I'm not like against a feminist or the feminism movement, but let's be honest about what it is nowadays. It's all about man hate. And that's something I can't get behind. There's one thing to sit there and be behind a movement that tries to empower women, but what is the point of doing a female-only screening of it. Like, I think that's fucking bullshit, dude.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with feminism, is the point of it. Like, feminism is about equality for all people. But what it is now is people are taking the name feminism and using it to say, well, men should be treated worse than women or something, you know, like things like that. And real feminists wouldn't want this to happen. I'm sure real feminists are outraged about this. Yeah. For me, it doesn't affect me personally. So
not affect me personally, but I come back to the studio. Honestly, I really do. I really think that they really fucked up I don't think it's going to hurt their box office by any means. And I'm sure that being a female only fucking thing, you know, women are going to show up to it.
Well, yeah. And the result of this, I think this is the result of something I've seen circulating on social media that did anger me. And it's this post like on Tumblr or whatever that's been shared all over Facebook and everything of these people saying Wonder Woman could be this huge movie that changes the course of DC because it's woman led, but they haven't pushed it. There's no marketing for it the way that there's been for other movies. And that is utter shit. Because this movie has been very, very heavily pushed by the studio and by a lot of people. I've seen so many TV spots for this that I've lost count. There have been 4 or 5 trailers for this film. It is heavily promoted. It is heavily marketed, just like everything else these days. Scott goes on about over-marketing all the time. And Wonder Woman is no exception.
By any means. People who sat there, made that meme, made whatever, that propaganda, essentially. If people that just don't understand the marketing scene of movies, they're fucking retarded, essentially.
These are people that walk through life and maybe don't watch a lot of TV or whatever, and then they're like, well, I haven't seen any promotion for Wonder Woman, so there must be none. Like, instead of, like, if you YouTube Wonder Woman, I'm sure you'll find 7 different TV spots and 4 different trailers. Like, and they're doing the same thing for Spider-Man right now. Like, it's so much. It is too much.
Right.
They promote it on all the CW shows. Wonder Woman has, like, all these exclusive things. And, like, on Supergirl this week during one of the commercials, she was wearing Wonder Woman's boots to promote the film.
Yep. And,
like, it's everywhere. It is everywhere. Wonder Woman products everywhere.
So ridiculous. Like, to sit there and make something so... That claim is just, like, idiotic.
It's not... I'm not bothered that people are excited for this movie, and I do think it will reframe DC and will rebuild the fan base and the alliance, because I think it will be a fantastic film. But that has nothing to do with the fact that Wonder Woman is a woman hero. Like, she's been like that since the 40s in comic books. Like, it has nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman. I think it is a special thing about her, you know, that she is this empowered woman who holds her own and everything. But she transcends that idea that, you know, there's gender inequality. She proves that is not the case for herself, you know? Like, just because she's a woman, she's not less powerful. And I think that is an important thing. But it's also important that she doesn't put down men. She doesn't sit there and say, well, you're less than me, you know? Even if they are, you know, so.
But, yeah, that's, like, my whole thing right there is the fact that it, you know, they're like trying to push like some sort of like feminist agenda, but like feminism is about equality, and yet you're excluding people, creating inequality. Like, well fucking done. Whatever fucking movie theater in Texas did that. Like,
I thought it was a joke. I thought someone, like, it was from a fake news site, because Daniel told me about it. I thought it can't. He's like, oh, I saw it on MoviePod. I was like, it's probably horseshit. And then my boss told me, and I was like, well, where's the source? He's like, oh, it's ABC News. And I was like, oh, shit. That's real. So,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, dude, I just find it complete horseshit, and I just wanted to talk about it a little bit. But we're going to get into our shows. We have Gotham, and then we have the season finales of Supergirl, Flash, and Arrow, concluding the CW finales that we cover. I think we just have a couple more weeks of Gotham, and then we'll be off for a while. Our
shows
podcast
will be off, but we'll still be here to talk to you.
Sorry, guys. Didn't mean to confuse you.
Yeah, we might take a couple weeks off here or there, or a week or so, but that is to be determined with scheduling. So, yeah, let's get into Gotham.
All right, Gotham, Season 3, Episode 19, Heroes Rise, All Will Be Judged. Temple Shaman, takes Bruce to the next phase of his training. Gordon and Bullock discover a crystal owl that carries the biggest secrets of Gotham's underworld. Enigma and Penguin must work together to get out of the tricky situation.
Yeah, that's a pretty good synopsis for once.
Yeah.
So what did you think of this episode of Gotham?
It was like, it had good parts, but it's just not there, you know? They just like do some like random stuff that like almost like throw you out of the groove of an episode, I feel like. And I feel like the stuff with you know, Enigma and Penguin, although interesting, you know, the dynamic between the two.
Yeah.
But like,
you feel like it's overdone?
Yeah, it's just a little overdone at this point. The stuff with Gordon and Bullock, obviously really good, and then I hated the Bruce stuff.
What about like the Selina and Alfred kind of thing?
Just whatever. Yeah, I'm just a little indifferent about that stuff.
The Executioner looked ridiculous.
I mean, but it was,
but he
so
functioned
like
functioned well.
Although not the best outfit design, but it was like super campy and like very like that would be in a comic book. You know what I mean?
He had a City of Gotham shoulder pad.
It was super funny, dude. And yeah. I just like, oh no, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I guess I just.
And he beheaded Catherine. What,
dude,
the hell?
Dude, that surprised the ever living shit. I mean, I was like, what?
That was crazy.
We both just like straight up looked at each other, like jaws dropped. We're like, did that just happen? Like, that just happened on like Fox. That's a thing.
That's
okay.
A thing. Yeah. That was crazy. So I quite liked some of like the Alfred conversation that he had with Selina. It wasn't really a conversation. He just kind of told her to fuck off.
I mean, that stuff was like pretty decent, but like, you know,
them fighting with Bruce's clone and stuff. You can't just can't be asked with Bruce's clone anymore.
Yeah, no. Like,
the Bruce thing when like he has to give up the pearls and stuff, isn't that part of what makes him Bruce?
Exactly.
Like, that's like the whole motivation for him to become Batman, and then like he finally gives it up at the end, and I'm just like, well, okay, now he's just some guy's fucking puppet. Like,
yeah, now he's trying to make him a fucking Talon now.
Yeah, to beat the court. Whatever.
I was so confused. I was like, are they trying to make him into Batman or are they trying to make him into Talon? It's very confusing right now. Either way, this is horse shit.
Yeah, and it was good seeing like Jarvis back, like, because he's great. But then like the result of that is Lee injecting herself with the virus.
Right. Like, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. I was like, why? Why would she do that? Like, she's trying to get herself killed or something. I don't know. It's garbage. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, like, now all of a sudden she blames herself for Mario's death, even though she never had anything to do with that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty awful. There's just a lot of stuff going on, and you kind of see the direction the show's going in, but it's just like, why?
Why? Yeah. So, apparently the old dude wants to end the Court of Owls. I don't know if that's true.
Probably not. I mean, it's,
But Alfred's Ganaka put that knife right through Catherine's hand. I didn't expect that either.
Yeah.
I was like, shit. That was pretty cool. And then Jim shot off like Barnes's hand. Like, I feel like they're trying to do like it feels like they're like, okay guys, we don't have a whole lot of like substance here, so let's just go for these big moments,
like violent moments, like Game of Thrones type shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's a lot of substance in Game of Thrones.
Well, yeah, like, well, I know that.
Well, yeah, I get what you're saying though.
Yeah, like, you know, like when what's his name got his head popped or whatever, you know, like they're trying to do those sort of moments where it's like, holy shit, I can't believe they just did that on TV.
Yeah.
So, but it was just like, I can't really be asked with the show right now, dude. Like.
Well, and we had three finales of other shows.
It wasn't even that, dude. There was just so many things wrong with this episode. I didn't like the episode.
Well, I liked a lot of the episode, but yeah, I can see what you're saying. Like, it is like the same thing. It seems like they're doing this, like they're following a formula every week, you know? And like, if they just can't figure out what to do, they're like, let's do this big thing. Let's behead Catherine and all this stuff. And
what villain is going to attack the GCPD and put it into ruins this week?
Yeah, and magically it'll be remodeled next week.
Probably.
So
I mean, like, it kind of worked a little bit better with Bullock more or less. I mean, not Bullock, Barnes. Sorry about that. But it's just so tiresome now. It's just, fuck, dude. How many times are you going to do the same thing over and over and over again?
Yeah.
I just didn't think it was like a great episode. I did quite enjoy the stuff with Gordon, Bullock, and Barnes. But those were like, that's really like the highlight of the, I mean, it's main part of the episode, but it's really the highlight, but all the other side things, awful. A lot of it didn't make sense.
The Enigma Penguin thing didn't make sense because it's like, Penguin, after he got himself out, why would he let Enigma out? You know, like, he doesn't need him to escape.
Like, yeah, no, because now you don't even know, like, what they did in between. Like, why did he need him at that point?
Criminals don't keep their word.
Right, exactly. Like,
so, whatever. But, yeah.
He was so close to saying, oh, you'll pay for this. They got so close to saying, and I was like, come on, little bitch, I know you want to.
Yeah, he was like, all right, I got all these creeps on my team, and you have all the gangs, so let's go to war. All
right. Okay, dude. Good shit.
Great.
Like 5. It was awful. It was
like 5. Yeah.
It was awful, dude. I'm telling you, like literally think about it and just think about all the plot holes, all like just the awful, like just lack of like overall knowledge of this, of like where your source material is coming from. Like, I understand.
Yeah,
you're
with
trying
the Bruce
to,
thing, that really irritated me.
Yeah, like that pissed me off. Like the thing with Lee pissed me off. I could care less about Penguin and Enigma, although, you know, together they are great actors. But it's just, I don't care about it anymore. It's just,
right.
Fuck, dude, stop doing the entire show about Penguin. Move on. Like, put him in the background and let him, you know, develop his underworld, whatever. And you don't need to show him every single fucking week.
Right. Yeah, I'll give it a 6.5.
Yeah, I'm sticking with my 5. I thought it was awful. Yeah. It was a shit episode.
All right, so those are in the book. Not a great episode. I think there's like 3 weeks left on Gotham. So we'll see how that pans out. And now we will talk about Supergirl. Supergirl, season 2, episode 22, Nevertheless, She Persisted, is the title, which I guess they got from politics. Okay. Supergirl challenges Rhea to battle to save National City. Meanwhile, Superman returns, and Cat Grant offers Supergirl some sage advice.
What'd you think of this episode?
I quite like this episode.
Dude, this episode was so awesome. I loved this episode.
Yeah, it was really good. So silver kryptonite. Yeah, I predicted kryptonite, but I got the wrong color.
Dude, I hell forgot about like silver kryptonite, and that is a thing. Like, it makes you like paranoid and delusional, and they use it in Smallville. And like, I don't know why I was thinking like black kryptonite's vid like different. It like just like splits the Kryptonian part of you.
Yeah,
and I was like forgot about like earlier in Smallville, like season 5 or 6, I think. They use it on Clark, and he ends up attacking, like, Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Over, like, he's, like, becomes super paranoid and stuff like that.
Right.
And a little bit delusional, and it was, like, super funny.
Yeah, so in this, Superman thought he was fighting Zod.
Right.
What do you think of the idea that Zod is his greatest nemesis in the idea of the show, like, or from the perspective?
I mean, makes...
You think it'd be Zod or Lex?
It's pretty hard. Man, I think it's rather difficult because obviously we know like Lex Luthor would never do anything to like destroy Earth.
Right.
You know, his main goal is to get rid of like the aliens, essentially.
Right, like what Cadmus is doing.
Right. And what's it called? But Zod, he'll go through any lengths to almost, recreate Krypton.
Right.
You know, even if that makes, you know, enslaving the humans and, you know, destroying planet Earth, it doesn't matter to him.
And it also makes sense because that's what Rhea was doing.
Right.
Trying to create new Daxum. So pretty much she was functioning as our Zod for the season.
Right. She is Kara Zod.
Yeah. So Superman versus Supergirl, and Supergirl wins.
What did you think of that?
Doesn't bother me at all, because in the comics, I believe she is actually technically stronger than Superman.
She's not stronger than him, but she's like faster than him.
Yeah, she's more powerful in one way or another than him in the comics. I know that's true. I don't know exactly which way.
Yeah, I think like his like actual like strength level is like stronger than hers, but she's like faster and like can fly better than him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like in the, you know, confines of this show, you don't know what sort of like combat training Superman has, but you know that she's been trained by like the DO, like agents and stuff like that. And she, her hand-to-hand combat skills have like drastically improved.
Right.
So you would just, you know, like, okay, that's fine. I'm not really bugged by it, but I would understand like if people were, you know,
right. Well, in addition, like it is her show, so she can't be overshadowed by Superman, you know?
Exactly.
And she had to beat him so she can be the champion of Earth and beat Rhea, because we can't have Superman beat Rhea on Supergirl.
Exactly.
So, the box. Is that a mother box?
It seemed like
it. Is that what that is? It seems like a mother box all of a sudden. But what did you think of the box and the idea that they were reprogramming it to essentially make the air poisonous to Daxamites?
I mean, it was a brilliant plan. I thought it was like a good plan. You know, it's gonna have the effect of, you know, it's gonna affect Mon-El as well. So yeah, he's gonna have to leave the planet,
which is super sad,
dude. That shit was like emotional. I was like, yeah, dude, this is so sad.
One of the funniest parts of the episode was like when Superman came back to Dio and Wynn's like, I love you.
He's like, I love you. That shit was hilarious. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Cat Grant doing her Cat Grant things, you know, with the great advice and whatnot.
And also knowing that Kara is Supergirl somehow, so.
Well, I mean, she guessed it before, but she just kind of backed off because she knew that she would never, like, tell her the truth or whatever.
Yeah, that was a great moment, though, where she's like, go get him, Supergirl.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty fantastic myself. Yeah.
So, Dokkum Ur, trial by combat, essentially.
Yeah.
For the planet, I thought that was pretty interesting. What'd you think of, like, them doing that, like, kind of, let's fight for the planet's existence?
Well, I mean, it makes sense because what other choice do they have? They have no way to destroy their ships.
Right.
So the next,
from like the lead or whatever, but
right.
Last case.
Yeah, that was like their last case scenario because obviously Kara doesn't want Mon-El to leave. So they have to come up with this plan in order to try to get Rhea to, you know, cooperate, essentially.
Yeah, the my favorite thing about the mother box and the lead thing was that it gave Lena an actual purpose. You know, like, most of the season she's just been kind of like a friend to Supergirl or whatever, but like,
right,
it's all kind of come to this, and I like that a lot. Like, they finally gave her something real to do that would help people. So
the one thing I didn't like about this episode is like that, like, Rhea was like infused with kryptonite, like, in her blood now, or something. I was like, that's stupid.
That was weird. Mon-El went and supported Kara, which was great. But yeah, the planet became uninhabitable
for Daxamites.
And Mon-El had to leave.
Oh, it was so, dude, that shit was
that
fucking
soul crushing.
That shit like had me almost crying, dude. Yeah. I was like, hold it together, Scott. You can do this.
And funny, then to add insult to injury, he gets like sucked into a wormhole or the Phantom Zone or something. I don't even know.
Yeah, and it looked like Kara was actually going to outer space to like meet
to
him or something.
Him,
and then he gets like sucked into like a wormhole of some sort where he's like, hey, he doesn't want to go there.
Hobby, yeah.
Yeah. So, gratings, what would you say about the season finale?
I really liked the season finale. I didn't really understand the end.
What do you mean the end?
The who they sent from Krypton to rule Earth?
Doomsday.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure.
Because Doomsday was created by, well,
by Zod.
Yeah, but on, not on Krypton. Krypton, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I need to brush up on my Superman lore. Mm-hmm. But like, Doomsday doesn't fight Kara.
So?
I guess he could.
I mean, they've taken Superman villains already and given it to her.
I suppose that is a little true.
A little true. It is very true. Like the, well, I mean, although flagshipped by CBS at the time, you know, like most of their villains were all Superman villains, not her villains.
Right.
But I mean, that's really besides the point. But
yeah. So Alex and Maggie, I guess, are going to get married. and Mon-El is a better person for loving Kara. It's very sad. So
we forgot Magan. She's back.
Magan came back with some white Martians to help, because apparently some white Martians feel remorse.
Hey, I mean, if one can do it, they all have the potential for it.
Yeah,
so that's
it's
okay.
Kind of like herd mentality. Maybe that was, you know, there before, but now Magan is like, guys, we're connected.
They're gonna touch tips.
I'm gonna kiss Uncle John.
Oh God.
I give this episode like a 9.6.
Yeah, I would have to give it like a 9.5. Only because I was like super was like very against the whole kryptonite bloodstream fusion, and I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
It was, dude. Other than if it wasn't for that one fact, while I was watching, I was like, dude, this episode is so good. And I was like, oh, I hate that part. But then I was like, oh man, the ending was so good. And I was just like, fuck, dude, this might have been one of their best episodes ever.
Yeah, it was great. Way to end it. And I loved seeing Superman back, even if it's not Tom Welling.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But before we move on to our other shows, we do want to say, We've discussed and we have plans to essentially do season recaps to talk about the season as a whole, because obviously if we did that, there'd be like a 5-hour podcast between doing like three seasons of three different shows. I mean, a season of three different shows. It'd be far too long. So in the coming weeks, we're going to produce one podcast a week of like the Supergirl season recap, a podcast of the Flash recap, and, you know, so on and so forth, essentially.
Yeah, so we will be doing those in the coming weeks to obviously supplement our podcast while we're just talking about Gotham and news. So stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, we're going to talk about The Flash.
The Flash, Season 3, Episode 23, Finish Line. With nothing left to lose, Barry takes on Savitar in an epic conclusion.
All right, fair enough.
Fair enough.
There was so much that happened in this episode.
So, first off, I was right. HR took Iris's place.
Yeah, we saw that from a mile away. I think that was like the most consistent, you know, kind or most readily obvious kind of conclusion to come to, obviously, because they're using the phase transmogrifier, and we were talking about that, and we're like, yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Right. So we were right, and, you know, no surprise there.
Yeah, we were right about almost everything in this episode, to be honest. it was HR, obviously. Savitar needs Cisco to make him a mortal, pretty much.
Yes.
He wants to be a part of every moment ever. Which is a Marvel Comics concept with a character called Molecule Man.
Yes.
He exists in literally every moment in every universe across Marvel. So that was a cool like pull. I don't know if they got that from there, but it sounds a lot like him. Like almost exactly like him.
Right.
So,
I mean, it could be, but I mean, they could have very well just came up with the idea.
Yeah. Caitlin could have been cured.
She could have,
Julian
but
had the cure, so.
That was like one thing that was a little bit, you know, muddled. It was pretty difficult to. She said that like Caitlin no longer exists, but she's not Killer Frost either.
Yeah, she's someone else, yes. Something else. Well, I haven't thought of that. Like when she said, she's like, "I'm someone else," and I was like, "You're something else."
Hashtag Arrow.
Yes. What do you think of the idea of Barry trying to help Savitar or help himself, his future self?
Well, I mean, it was a good concept, but it didn't work.
Obviously, yeah. He set off the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, trying to kill everyone.
Blew up Star Labs, so that's a thing, I guess.
But I wonder why he blew up. Like, I mean, obviously he knew that he wouldn't kill anybody, but he said these words. He said, I did it to take care of a problem,
yeah.
Right? But he obviously knew everybody got out of there. So I feel like there was something in that lab that got destroyed. that, you know. But I guess it...
I feel like that part was a little underwhelming. Like, you'd expect it to have some other kind of consequence.
Right.
But it doesn't. Unless it somehow helped trigger the events at the very end of the episode.
Right, maybe. I don't know.
But because it is a part of the Speed Force that he blew up. So, who knows. So, what'd you think of Harry coming back from Earth 2?
I mean...
And sticking around now.
Yeah. Makes sense. I don't foresee them ever writing off Tom Cavanaugh unless if he wants to personally move on from the show. I think the way they use him as multiple characters is pretty ingenious, if I must say so myself. I love him as an actor. I think he's just so great. And then, like I said, the way they use him, you know, basically to be whatever the team needs in that season is just, it's just ingenious.
Yeah,
it's
now we're
so brilliant.
Getting Earth 2 Harrison Wells back for season 4, which I think is great as well. So we get a mention from Barry, future Barry of DeVoe, who is the thinker, whose comic book origins go all the way back to 1943.
Right.
Which, if you guys don't understand that kind of context, it's 20 years before Spider-Man was created. So this guy's been around forever in The Flash. There's been multiple thinkers throughout comics, obviously, because there always are. But DeVoe is the very first thinker, and he was like a lawyer or something. And, you know, he eventually became the thinker. It's a very crazy story. But
right.
Season 4 villain, right?
Maybe.
Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah, probably.
Because they said they're not going to do a speedster next year, so DeVoe makes sense as a villain.
I'm glad that they've came out and said that because, like we've said, can the Flash exist as a show without some sort of evil speedster, you know, hindering?
Yeah, like the season long kind of arc or whatever. But yeah, I think that'll be interesting, and I think that was a major drop. I know some people still think it might be Suicide Squad. But I don't think they'll be, like, the overarching villain. I think they'll just do, like, a certain, like, event or, like, two-story arc. Like they did with Earth 2 last year and then Harambee Village this year.
Yeah.
So, so Gypsy.
Ugh. Ugh. Telling you.
We're connected, Cisco.
Are you now? You should have just took her straight to the bedroom.
Yeah. But, yeah, there were other people there watching.
So?
Yeah. Agreed. Black Flash was killed Killer Frost. And she said goodbye, Hunter, or whatever. For those of you confused and you read comics, you know there always has to be a Black Flash. There has to be a Black Flash who chases down the aberrations. I'm pretty sure there will be another Black Flash. So don't worry about that, all right? They just killed Hunter Zolomon, Black Flash, okay? Okay, guys.
Okay, guys.
Jay Garrick comes out of the Speed Force. That was pretty awesome. We knew Cisco wasn't going to help Savitar, right?
Yeah. I mean, let's just be honest here.
I didn't predict that while watching. I wasn't like, oh, you know, he's going to break Jay Garrick out. But that was awesome that that happened.
Yeah, he like created a skeleton key that shot through the Speed Force and released Jay Garrick from prison. You know, and then basically Jay Garrick, Wally, and Barry start trying to fight Savitar. How cool was that entire scene? There's like the CG effects of like running four speedsters all at once, three chasing one. And then like he like jumps super high in the air and then does like the lightning without even having to like wind up. He just like generates the lightning.
Yeah.
Like that was so freaking cool.
Yeah.
I was like, it was awesome.
And Caitlin saved Cisco's life when Savitar tried to kill him.
Right.
Which was cool, I guess.
Yeah.
And Barry vibrates into the suit. He phases into the suit.
Dude, that was so cool. That was badass.
And like
dude,
the suit turned red and stuff. I was like, oh my God, it's so cool. And then he like vibrates so much he just destroys it.
Right.
That was an awesome sequence.
Yep. And then so they think everything has been saved, you know, other than, you know, HR died. They have his funeral service, pretty sad moments there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you think everything's, you know, hunky-dory, everything's good now. And then all of a sudden, like, the Speed Force starts, like, shooting lightning all over the world pretty much, or all over the city, but assuming all over the world as well. But what do you think about that?
Well, it's very reminiscent of Rebirth.
Right. The current rebirth.
Current rebirth, where a bunch of new speedsters and a bunch of other metas are made, including Godspeed, who Barry trains all these new speedsters pretty much in the new rebirth that happened last year of Flash. So it's very reminiscent of that. And another prediction that came true, Barry goes into the Speed Force.
Right.
Which is very important and very sad. I cried when I saw
that. Well, I mean, I don't know how the current rebirth has worked out, but the old rebirth, like from like 2009-ish, I don't know, somewhere in there, like from like 2008 to 2011,
somewhere in there.
But Barry had just came back from being trapped in the Speed Force.
Yeah.
So maybe they're doing the whole rebirth sort of thing, and that should be interesting. Maybe we'll get the Flash Museum finally that we've already seen hints of, you know, obviously through the visuals of the Speed Force.
Well, him going into the Speed Force reminds us, you know, of way back in the 80s when Wally West became the Flash, because Barry kind of disappeared, right?
Right.
But it's also reminiscent of now the current rebirth, where Wally West comes out of the Speed Force because he ended up in the Speed Force when Barry came back from that rebirth, which helped produce this new 52 universe kind of thing where Wally didn't exist. So
right.
It's all very confusing, but all very exciting as well.
Right.
So the big question is, how long will Barry be in the Speed Force?
I'm hoping like for a while. I hope it's not just the whole same thing with one or two episodes that they did with Flashpoint. I mean, that'd be pretty unfortunate if they did that. My question is, what's gonna happen next season? Really, I think you hit it on the head with Defoe, the Thinker. I'm excited to see where they go from this. Obviously, they're never just going to... I asked you, do you think that they have the guts to move on from Grant Gustin permanently? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah,
I don't think they will. I think it'd be interesting if they did a season without him, to be honest. I think that would be very interesting to see if Wally could be the Flash, see him in the Flash costume and things like that. Just don't think it'll happen. I think this will last 2 to 5 episodes at the most.
Maybe.
And then we'll see Barry back, similar to what they did with Flashpoint. So
right.
If they do so, I will be disappointed. But I love Grant Gustin as well, so we'll have to see what happens there.
So last thing to talk about is ratings, of course.
Well, I want to talk about, too, like Iris shot Barry.
Okay.
Like future Barry. Do you think that'll impact her at all?
No.
No? Anyway, he's getting erased anyway. And the Mark Twain quote on HR's gravestone.
Oh yeah, that's great.
The two most important days of a person's life are the day you're born and the day you find out why. And then John Lennon's story, of course, was amazing as well. So all very good. I give this episode a 9.9.
9.9 from me as well.
All right, let's move on to our final episode of the week and our final finale of the week. Arrow, Season 5, Episode 23. Leanne Yu. Oliver assembles a group of unlikely allies, Slade, Nyssa, Merlin, and Digger Harkness, to engage in an epic battle against Chase and his army.
What? So, I mean, stuff happened, right? But, yes. Like, there wasn't, like, a whole lot to talk about. You know, it's like there's a couple key moments, and then it's just, like, the epic ending.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Slade is back.
Right.
Slade and Boomerang.
In a new suit, by the way.
Yeah, that suit was sick. And like...
Like, what'd you think about replacing, like, the old one? Like, I mean, very similar, but like, the old one was like, all black. This one had like, black Under Armour, and then, or not like, not the brand Under Armour, but like, armor underneath, and then like, a blue, like, blue plating over it.
I liked it. It was like, the classic look for Slade. The blue and orange, and I love the reference to his son. If you guys haven't read the Deathstroke series from like 2015 by Tony Daniel, read it, because it's amazing. And his son is a part of that story, his son and daughter, and it's just brilliant. So if you want some backstory on his kids and more even on himself, I love that series. So check that out if you're a fan of Deathstroke.
Yeah. And then like so random because, like, I talk about fucking Digger Harkness, like, and then, like, they just bring him on, like, randomly, and he didn't really do much, and I was just, like, I was pretty disappointed.
Pretty sure
by,
he died.
Yeah, like, I was, like, very confused by it all, and I was just like, oh, what an epic letdown.
You didn't like the Digger Harkness stuff?
Well, I mean, he was good, but, like, it was just, like,
meh. Didn't really serve a purpose. Like, his purpose was to betray them, I guess, but, like, that doesn't matter because, like, Talia was still there and, like, Evelyn, so they didn't really need to have him betray them, so.
Yeah, pretty much, but I guess they just kind of played a role of just showing how many steps ahead of Oliver Chase is. It's just he's playing Chase's game, and he thinks he's coming up with unique ideas in order to defeat Chase, but Chase is just so far ahead of him. He knows every move that Oliver will make.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious, too. So we get Alicity back for a second there. They kissed.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
All right, moving on.
it doesn't bug me anymore. Like, I'm just like, okay, like, that's who they want him to be with. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, so what do you think of the idea that, I mean, I think we all already knew this, but what Slade was saying, that Oliver just suffers from survivor's guilt?
I mean, I quite like that. I mean, and it is true. He always had the tendency of to blame himself in every situation, essentially. So, I mean, that is an obvious conclusion to that. I mean, there's not really much to it, in my opinion.
Yeah. One of, like, the my favorite parts of the episode was, like, Merlin sacrificing himself for Thea. That was great. I like
but
that
I mean, of course, we never seen his body, so is he really dead?
Is he really dead? Well, we'll have to
We know Digger Harkness wasn't dead, so we assume that neither is Malcolm Merlin, probably not.
Well, he doesn't come back, does he?
Yes, he does.
After that? I don't think he does. I think, like, that's where he's like, oh, you're pretty stupid for just standing there, and then, like, you know, we just hear the explosion. But I don't think we see Digger.
Oh,
after
no,
that.
No, yeah, never mind. I was thinking about before. Never mind.
Yeah. So Slade obviously pretends to betray Oliver. That didn't get me at all. I was like, oh, he's obviously not gonna betray Oliver. Like, right. Especially after, like, the beginning where they explained the mirror crew wore off him.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. I was like, what?
Like, it wears off? When does this happen?
It only took like 10 years to wear off, but okay.
Yeah. Nyssa versus Talia. Another great scene, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Obviously, it was cool seeing Nyssa win. I quite like that. And then we kind of get, like, the battle royale, where Chase says William is dead, which we don't believe at all.
Just another little tricky misdirection from that ad.
And the funny thing is, like, none of this matters. Like, Chase had Oliver beat before Oliver stepped foot on the island.
Right.
By essentially rigging the island to blow with all these explosives all over the place. Oliver ends up chasing him on the boat, and fucking hell.
That's when shit got real. Like, I mean, didn't you just say he had the entire island rigged?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. I blanked out for a second. But yeah, and then, yeah, so basically Oliver gets William back after being, you know, told you have to choose between your friends. Or William, if you kill me to get William, then all your friends die. But if you let them live, then I will kill William. He thinks that he passes them yet again and, like, shoots him in the foot to get William. And he's like, yeah, you're done here pretty much. But then apparently he had a gun.
Shot himself in the head.
And just, like, shot
just
himself.
Just like his dad did.
Yeah, dude, that was, like, super crazy how, like, everything came full circle. But it was, like, with, like, the flashbacks because I felt like...
Dude.
They weren't really.
They didn't explain it. They didn't ever tie it in. But Kovar has to be that guy's dad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, dude. Like that dude. That see how like I made that connection earlier, and I was just like,
yeah,
like right. Like now, do you understand? Like,
yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
like now do you like? I guess get like where my thought process was. I guess
like the flashbacks were kind of just to bring us full circle. The very first scene we saw in Arrow, which is what happened at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
But he calls his mom as well, which is great. Like I like that scene.
Right.
You know. I think this was a phenomenal episode.
Yeah, so did I. I thought it was quite good as well.
Especially, like, the ending and all that. Like, are they dead? Are all his friends dead?
Right. And I'm surprised that you even like that because I know you hate cliffhangers. You hate cliffhangers. You're so against it because we've had super long conversations about
how... Well, it's because it never really pays off. Like, it's finished, like... like the next episode is like that beat ends, and then all of a sudden it's like you just move on. Like at, like you could have just put that at the end of this episode, you know?
Yeah, I don't think they kill Felicity. I don't think they kill Diggle. But Thea?
William's mom, maybe?
I think William's mom probably will die. And I think Thea is a very likely possibility. I don't see them killing...
Felicity or Diggle, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see them killing anybody
or,
other than
or
Thea.
Curtis. Or, yeah. Actually, think, just Thea and...
I really feel like the three people that would have the biggest impact... Well, technically for William's mom, because then that makes it to where William has to go to Oliver. So that's an obvious impact. And then, you know, Diggle would have a huge impact. But the two biggest to have a real impact onto him would be Felicity. I don't think they're going to happen because they push Felicity so much in the show. So I don't see that happening. But Thea, I think, would absolutely destroy Oliver.
Yeah. I don't know if they'd kill her necessarily, because then it's like Malcolm's sacrifice meant nothing. But...
I don't think so. I don't necessarily agree with his sacrifice meant nothing.
Well, it meant something, but it leads to nothing. You know, essentially, like,
yeah,
she died.
But
anyway.
But I'm okay with that, though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, I guess it's just a little different. But
I don't know. I thought, like, this was just a very exciting episode.
Yeah, dude,
and
I thought it was great.
I think it's a great way to end this fantastic season of Arrow. I would argue it's probably the best season they've had.
Interesting. Like, even over season two?
At this point, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it was like one of the best seasons ever. Obviously, we don't really care for season three and four. We thought those were very botched seasons.
Yeah.
But season one, obviously a great season. Season two was epic. And then this season, I felt like, was epic as well. Like, it was just so good. I think we'll have to delve into that a little bit more during our season wrap up, and just try to place on like a scale of like where do these seasons rank, and you know we'll have to come up with something for that. We'll work on that, guys.
Yeah. So what would you grade this episode?
Oof, 9.8.
I think this episode is like a 10.
Really? You thought it was a 10?
Yeah.
No. This episode was not better than The Flash. And honestly, if it was not for that kryptonite, I would have put Supergirl at a 10.
Really?
Yes. I thought it was that good. I thought that episode was really that good. Although I gave it a lower grade, I do feel like Supergirl was a better episode than this one.
I'll give this one a 9.9.
You can keep your 10 grade. I'm just questioning it. You're fine
it. I'll knock off a 0.1 because...
Why? I want to know why. And it has to be a legit reason, too. Because I don't want you to change your grade because I don't agree with it.
No, I get what you're saying, like, about, like, Digger Harkness was kind of pointless in this.
Yeah.
So he's 0.1 off of my grade.
Okay.
So,
But, I mean, you're more than welcome to give that the winner of the week. You're more than well. I just don't. For me, it was not a 10.
I enjoyed The Flash a lot more, but I feel like the very end of this episode was like way more emotionally draining than any of the other shows almost this week. Like,
I felt the exact same thing about Supergirl.
The Flash had me like I had to almost sit through this episode three times, like, because I watched it the first time, and then I tried to watch it with you yesterday, and you fell asleep. So I watched it again today, and every time that end just gets me, dude, I start crying.
Yeah. So, dude, like, I felt like, you know what the funny thing is like, so I watch all the shows today, like I always do. I watched The Flash first, and I just, like, felt emotionally drained. And I was like, okay, I took a break for a while, we did some stuff. And then I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch Supergirl because I don't think it will be as good as Arrow.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, something a little less heavy. And then after that, I was like almost destroyed inside. I was just like, oh, fuck, dude.
You had to go watch funny YouTube videos.
Yeah, in my room. And I was just like, I'm going to just lay here and cry a little bit.
Yeah, so winners and losers of the week. For me, the winner, I will say, is The Flash. I almost gave that a 10. But you know, I almost gave both that and Arrow a 10, but to me, I like The Flash more, and I feel like it had those emotional heartstring tuggy things in theirs.
Right.
And Gotham is obviously the loser.
Yeah. Gotham for me is the loser. And by man, I'm telling you, maybe I was a little hard on like the point deduction that I gave it, But man, Supergirl was so close to beating the Flash for the winner for me. But because of that kryptonite thing just bugged me so fucking much, dude. I was just like, oh God, you fuckers.
Yeah.
But man, I'm telling you, hats off to Supergirl and the bang up job that the CW has done this season with, you know, the transfer from CBS to the CW.
Yeah.
And it's just been such a phenomenal season. We didn't know if the show was even going to work.
Right. Well, the big things in each of the episodes were like unreal good, you know?
Yeah.
Like Supergirl, I didn't really care about like the John Jones kind of stuff that much, and with Magon coming back, and obviously like the kryptonite blood thing and whatever. Like, so those are all like places that lost points for me. The Flash was just like unreal. Like I enjoyed thoroughly the entire episode.
Right.
And Arrow, you know, arguably, you know, wasn't the best in some places, but like to me, I thoroughly enjoyed that episode as well. So that's why I gave him higher grades than Supergirl, but the big parts of Supergirl were just amazing and unreal, and the fight with Superman.
Dude, that was unreal. Oh my God, the emotional ending with like her losing the love of her life, and I was just like, felt utterly destroyed. And then to see like everyone else happy around her was just like utterly gut-wrenching for me. I was just like, oh man. It was difficult. It was very difficult to sit through that and not like honestly have a cry a little bit.
And I will say, because I know you mentioned like I don't like cliffhangers, but the endings of these episodes I don't feel are cliffhangers. To me, they're game changers because they change the course of the next season. Like, not just like, they're not just over like that, you know? Like, it does affect something, and that is a game changer as opposed to a cliffhanger. Yes, I know they're both literary terms, but yes.
So, you know, just so no everybody's clear, my winner was the Flash, my loser was Gotham. I just want to make sure that was clear that. But it was close. It was close, man. That Supergirl episode, dude, got me, dude. Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck, dude. But, okay, guys, that's our reviews for the week. Just the usual spiel of make sure you guys are following us on all of our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat. We also have an awesome website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Lots of features on there. Go check it out. We have a YouTube channel. Make sure you guys are subscribed to us, Nerdy Boys Reviews. Make sure you guys enable the little bell notification next to the subscribe button so you guys can get notifications when we upload new content. We have a ton of content coming up. If you guys could please go view the content we already have published. If you guys enjoyed that content, drop us a like and leave us some feedback. Good or bad, does not matter. And thanks for staying tuned. Yeah,
thanks, everyone.
One more thing. Sorry to cut you off. Make sure you guys are checking out our other podcast that will be published alongside of this one. It's our Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 podcast. So that was a pretty good podcast there. So make sure you guys check it out. You guys can find it on Podbean.com, iTunes, Google Music, Play Store, Libsyn, just Google us.
Stitcher, stuff. Yeah, so go check all of that stuff out. We will be talking about Wonder Woman in the next couple weeks here at some point, so stay tuned for that.
That will be a fucking belter.
Yes. Maybe we'll do like a virtual tour of our apartment for you guys.
Yeah, through YouTube.
Through YouTube, so.
Yeah, we got some awesome art that we've been hanging up, and we've been configuring where some of like the statues and pops go. We'd love to show you guys around the Nerdy Boy crib.
Yeah, so I think that's it. That's all we have for you guys this week. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, if you have the time, please leave us a review on iTunes. It helps other people find us and listen to us, so that's important. That's everything we have for you. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And as always, stay nerdy, boys.